Jeffrey, thank you. Pentecost for the world. What a title. You see, we've been looking at Joel and that little word afterward. And Emilian made clear 2 weeks ago that the afterward of Joel chapter 2 is equal to the last days of Acts chapter 2. We are in the last days. He made that very clear. He also made it clear there will be a final last day. A day of judgment is coming. And that's not a popular message. Indeed, I hardly slept last night thinking about what I'd need to share this morning. It was going round and round in my heart. Can we pray? Father God, we do ask that your word will be heard, rightly heard, and not wrongly heard. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of the redemption which is in Jesus, for the hope that we have in him. But Lord, there's a needy world out there, and indeed our hearts are needy too. And so we come. We come, Lord, and just expose ourselves to your holy word this morning. In Jesus' name. So I want to continue in the book of Joel in the context of being filled with the Spirit and of the judgment which he prophesied. You see, the two things are all together. They're right there, cheek by jowl. So here's the sort of summary, and this is where we'll, God willing, we'll end up. God forgives, God fills, and God flows out through us to others. So that's what we hopefully where we'll end. Let's look first of all at God's story of salvation. It's all here in the Bible. I just want to summarize it extremely quickly. First of all, the fall. Sin entered the world and death by sin. And then God had to destroy all that it created except for 8 people. The flood. And then came, so soon afterwards, came the Tower of Babel. And you heard about that last week. So soon. And this is where the nations were born, at the Tower of Babel, because up to then, everyone had the same language. Now, God deliberately made all the nations with a different language, because they were trying to make themselves God. And then you have Abraham. And that one nation, out of all those nations, one nation was called to be a blessing for all nations. That was why God chose Israel. That's why God chose Abraham, to bless all these nations. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So that's Abraham. And then you come to David, King David. And I want to highlight this because you'll see that Zion and Jerusalem are very prominent in what we're going to be looking at. And David conquered Jerusalem, and there in that stronghold of Zion, his son Solomon established the temple. And so Zion, in the Bible, Old and New Testament, means where God lives, where God dwells. And Jerusalem is the center of God's purpose. Then came the exile. The nation of Israel failed totally. And so they were taken into Babylon. But you see, now God's story of salvation is complete. God never gave up on Israel. His patience and his forgiveness was unlimited. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you say, well, why doesn't God wipe them out? How can he be so patient with them? And by the way, we are like that too, so let's be careful. None of us deserve the mercy of God, do we? But you see, God's purpose is eternal. And so Jesus became incarnate. God became incarnate as a Jew. He died in Jerusalem. He rose again in Jerusalem. He ascended to heaven from Jerusalem and is coming back to Jerusalem. It's the center of God's purpose and of his plan of salvation. Jesus himself said in Luke 13, surely, and we can hear the pathos in the words of the Lord Jesus, surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. In Jesus, all God's purposes are fulfilled. So God's salvation, that's the story of God's salvation. Here's God's salvation because of sin. Joel spoke of the day of the Lord. If you read the book of Joel, he's talking about, like many prophets, talk about the day of the Lord that's coming, and so you need to repent. It was judgment on Israel. You see, the Israelites thought in their arrogance that the day of the Lord would be judgment for everybody else except them. But no, no, says Joel, the day of the Lord is coming and it's going to mean judgment on you. So repent. And then comes Joel chapter 2, verse 28, afterward. After repentance. Joel prophesied Pentecost. The pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh. You see, the nations are in view. Not just Israel. The nations are in view. Chapter 2, verse 32, Joel says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, quoting Joel, Peter stands up, full of the Holy Spirit, and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God's salvation. Joel declares, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter declares, the promise is for all whom the Lord our God will call. Repent is stressed by Peter in that first sermon after Pentecost. And it echoes the strong message of repentance in the book of Joel. You see, we will not call on God if we don't have a sense of sin and our need of salvation. We will not call on God if we're okay. If everything in the garden is lovely. The pouring out of the Spirit of God is for all people to be saved. God's salvation is for all, for every nation. Peter was a Jew. In Acts chapter 2, verse 5, notice, all the people who heard Peter preach on that Pentecost day, they were all Jews. But they were there from every nation under heaven. So the nations, after Pentecost, now begin to hear of the love of Jesus for a world that includes every nation. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you, talking to the disciples, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Notice, in Jerusalem, the Jews. In Judea, the southern kingdom of the Jews. In Samaria, the northern kingdom of the Jews that have been destroyed. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. God's salvation is for all. It's for every nation. The power of the Holy Spirit was essential, was vital for those 11 disciples who heard him say, go and preach the gospel to every nation. Fancy, 11 men, and there weren't even any women among them. 11 men, go and preach the gospel to all the nations of the world. They certainly needed the power of the Spirit, and so do we. And for the 12th apostle, Paul, one born out of due time, he was also a Jew, but he was the apostle for the Gentiles. Acts 9, this man, said Ananias, as he's afraid to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus, God says, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. And in verse 17, Ananias goes trembling to Brother Saul, and he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul needed to be filled with the Spirit for the task of reaching the nations. God's salvation is also urgent. The message of Joel about Pentecost is, if you read it, it's right there, just cheek by jowl. It's just part of the same message in the book of Joel chapter 2 about the Holy Spirit coming is merged with the final, the eschatological end of the world, the day of the Lord. Not the last days that we're in now, but the final last day when God will judge all people, all nations. I will show wonders, says Joel, in the heavens and on the earth. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And you know, that's repeated throughout. Read the book of Revelation. Read the New Testament alongside the Old Testament. See that that's exactly what God is saying. Joel doesn't only speak of this terror, however. He speaks of being saved from it. And speaks of deliverance. And Debbie made that so clear. Thank you. For, says Joel chapter 2, verse 32, for on Mount Zion, that's where God dwells, remember. And in Jerusalem, that's where Jesus died, remember. There will be deliverance. Mount Zion, where God dwells, where Yahweh dwells. The security is in him and in his home where he dwells. God cannot dwell with sin. He will not. He cannot. He is holy. He can't coexist where sin is. We cannot dwell in God until he's provided salvation from sin and its consequences in Jesus. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 therefore continues, among the survivors whom the Lord calls, God is going to deal with the people of Israel. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. When I restore, says God, the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations. So God is going to restore his people, Israel. He's going to deal with them in mercy. And those redeemed and restored people, along with us Gentiles, are going to reach out to the nations with a message of salvation and hope until the final day. It is time, says Peter, chapter 4 of his first letter. It's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And you know, that's why, my brothers and sisters, I'm shivering as I stand here before you. I didn't sleep last night. I was going over and over this message. What does the Lord want to say to this people? You and me. Because you see, judgment begins with the house of the family of God. And if it begins with us, says Peter, what will the outcome be for those who don't obey the gospel of God? You see, that's why we have to come to grips with this message. Because of the nations. Because of salvation for all who will call upon him. The restored, believing Jews, together with us Gentiles, are the family of God. And God deals first with us, his people. So in that sense, although I'm afraid, I make no apology for saying what I'm saying. We whom God has dealt with are those who tell others. You know, there's no room for a preacher to stand up and talk about hell and judgment and God's anger and God's wrath unless he's speaking out of a heart of love and concern and compassion. He deals with us. We repent. We are saved. And the whole nations will hear through us by the Holy Spirit. So Joel chapter 3, and you'll be glad to know we've come to the end of the chapter of Joel. It's the last chapter of Joel. Hey, wait a minute. It's a very powerful chapter. It has three striking pictures of three valleys. First is the valley of Jehoshaphat, chapter 3, verse 12. Let the nations be roused, says God. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations. God sits as judge of all nations. That's the reality of judgment. I've said it. I don't need to repeat it. Verse 13, however, gives an even more dreadful picture. I don't want to read it out. I would like you to read it in Joel chapter 3. And then look also in Revelation chapter 14. It's the same picture exactly of this terrible reaping of Jehovah, of the harvest of wickedness which is ripe for judgment. Folks, this is the last, terrible last day. When this day comes, the day of mercy and grace will be finished. And God will send his angels and they will reap the harvest of the earth. Some to eternal life, some to eternal death. The reaping of Jehovah. Then he brings another graphic picture of another valley. Calls it the valley of decision. Verse 14, multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord, his final terrible day, is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes of people needing to make a decision before the judgment falls because the day of the Lord is so near. You see, this is why it's so urgent. This is why I'm trembling. This is why I don't want to say it. We have to decide. And the world has to decide. There will be those who are forever with Jesus, or there will be those who forever will be excluded. God and Jesus and his love. It's the time of decision. The reality of judgment. Notice the wrath from Jerusalem. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord will roar from Zion. and thunder from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 26 puts it like this: Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling, out of Zion, to punish the people of the earth. The wrath from Jerusalem. Again, it's all in Revelation. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 16, it's exactly the same. It talks about the love of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who goes and dies for the sins of the world, for your sin, for my sin. But if we refuse that, if we refuse Jesus, if we refuse the salvation which God has always intended to bring to fruition in Jesus, and we're offering it to the world, and he's offering it to you now here in this congregation, if we refuse him, then God has got nothing more to say. The wrath of the Lamb, perhaps the most terrible phrase in the Bible, the wrath from Jerusalem. But, verse 16, I thank God there's a book. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people. Not just the wrath from Jerusalem, but the refuge in Jerusalem. Something, what have we got? Some noise somewhere, have we? Am I just me hearing it, or somebody got a phone turned on? Or are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we serious? There's the wrath from Jerusalem, but there's the refuge in Jerusalem. You know, in America, North America, there's a great prairies of grasslands stretching out from miles and miles and tens of miles. And when, dreadfully, as sometimes happens, a prairie fire breaks out, it sweeps with terrible, terrible intensity, terrible rapidity. It comes devouring all in its path. And so what the farmer does, if he knows it's coming, he burns around his farmstead. He burns the grass around his home and his family and his cattle and his animals. So that when the fire comes sweeping down, it goes round his dwelling. We used to sing a song in my young days, long time ago now. Stand where the fire has been, where the fire of God's judgment has fallen. Stand where the fire has been, and you're safe. Because you see, the fire devoured Jesus. The fire consumed Jesus. God died that we might be saved. So we stand where the fire of God's judgment has fallen on Jesus. One of those occasions in the prairie fire, the farmer had been too late to save his home and his farm and his cows and his cattle and his animals. He was sadly going through his farm on horseback, and he saw a heap on the ground. And he got off his horse And he turned the heap over with his toe, and he realized it was the burnt body of a mother hen. And out from under that mother hen came the little live chickens. Jesus was consumed that the fire would pass by us. It's awful, isn't it? But it's God's truth. There's the wrath of God, but there's the salvation of God. There's the refuge in Jerusalem, where Jesus died and Jesus rose again. He's conquered death. He's in glory. And he's coming back. So I come to the final picture. Not only is there the refuge in Jerusalem, but Joel chapter 3 talks about a river from Jerusalem. Verse 18. In that day, he says, a fountain will flow out of the Lord's house. The flow of water, he says, is into what he calls the Valley of Acacias, because you see, in the desert, in the arid desert, only the acacia tree can struggle to grow. So his last picture, Joel's last picture, is that there's a valley, an arid desert, where the river of God's love and mercy will flow from his house, from Zion. I shared with you 2 or 3 weeks ago how I felt, how arid and helpless I felt. I shared it with you. I still share it with you. I'm not speaking this message in hellfire judgment. I'm speaking this message out of a heart of love and of need. I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I need this power that's available to us, that the world may hear. Is there someone else in this congregation? You're struggling in an arid desert. You're just not making it. It's all just too much. There's a flow. There's a river. There's a river of love that flows from the house of God, the river of Jesus. And not only we struggle in the desert, but our world struggles in the desert, doesn't it? You know, you hardly dare turn the news on, do you? In Nigeria, every day we get more and more news of killings every day. The world is struggling. As I came in, the news is all about Ireland and its choice. Desert, arid, struggling. The fullness of the Spirit of God comes pouring into us that he may pour out through us for others, for the nations. So we've come back to where I said we were. God forgives. God fills. Oh, thank God. God flows out for others. Father God, thank you that you helped me to say it. Father God, thank you that Joel wrote it so long ago, and Peter quoted it, and the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost, the fullness of your Spirit, filling us for others, for the nations, for a lost world. Oh God, help us to accept it, and to stop struggling in an arid desert when there's a great flow of living water from your very presence. Lord, we accept it. Lord, we need you. Lord, bring this message of life and hope to a world that's poised on terrible judgment. In Jesus' name.